Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Scream ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before this episode starts, I, being Caleb, want to make a quick little personal testimony, announcement, whatever you want to call it. I am now on the app Cameo. If you don't know what Cameo is, it is a website that you can go on your phone or on your desktop or whatever you prefer, and you can request that I say some words to you in a video version. So maybe you have a birthday coming up, maybe you want me to roast one of your friends, maybe you want me to just like yell at you for a little while. Well, all you gotta do is go on the Cameo app, go ahead and request me by searching up Caleb Soup. Let me know what you want me to say or do, and then within a couple days, I will send you back a video, a personalized video, just for you. But, yeah, guys, that's really all I had to say. That's the small announcement. If you're interested in checking out my Cameo again, just go on the Cameo app and search up Caleb Soup, and you should find me. Now enjoy the rest of the episode. And Ash. Hello, everybody. Are you ready to get into it? Yeah? If you are ready to get into it, we are here to bring you into it because it's time to get into it.
Yeah.
Fear Street, part two. Yeah. Thank you, Ethan Hurt. Do you want to get into it with Ethan Hurt? I don't know if you do, but if you do, www.ethanhurt.com. Get into it.
Yeah.
With Ethan Hurt. If you want to listen to a three idiots talking about Fear Street Part 2, saying we're probably going to get off topic. Fear Street Part 2, 1978, not in the 1700s. Yeah.
Which is what Caleb thought it was.
Caleb, Ash, and Elena, we're together. It is Scream. There's an exclamation point. We're covering a movie.
We sure are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
What is that new thing that you're doing where you're just going, ooh? Like, why is that occurring?
I've listened to Choices by E40 a lot in the last few days. Actually, Choices in parentheses, yup. Choices, yup.
Ooh. We love a good, yup moment.
Right? I love a yeah, yup. So, yeah, yup.
Your new thing where you're just going, ooh. I'm like, did you watch like something intense? Like what?
Ooh.
We're talking about Fear Street numero dos, 19. Nope. Yeah. 1978.
We're in camp.
I'm stoked because if you know me, you know that I just am the 70s.
You embody the 70s. You are the 70s. That is true. We all know this about you.
Yeah, I love the 70s.
It's true.
That 70s show is actually about me. All the characters were modeled after me.
Yeah.
So these ones were directed and written by pretty much the same people. Lee Janiak, and I think that's how you pronounce it, came back to direct this one. She originally wasn't supposed to direct this. She was supposed to just do the first and the third installments, but there was a dropout in this one, which led her to also directing this one. And this one was actually directed last out of the trilogy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay, well, I haven't seen the third installment yet, but apparently they use all, like, the same characters and stuff for the most part, so it just made more sense to shoot those ones first.
Yeah, I saw, like, in the preview that they used the same characters, but I didn't know that they shot them out of order.
And also that Lee, she is married to Ross Duffer, who was the guy who did Stranger Things.
Oh, shit. So that makes sense, right?
This has very Stranger Things vibes, I feel, and it has some of the same people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. The Duffer brothers. Duffer brothers.
And then the screenplay was written by Lee and then also a guy named, his name is like Zeal Olkowicz. And there was also a guy named Phil Graziadi involved in this. I am butchering these names. I have no idea how to pronounce these, but guys, just know that I am standing in solidarity with your names right now.
Just know that.
And that's really all I have about that part. Okay. Yeah, I can't really find a budget on this because these just came out. And then also with these Netflix movies, it's kind of hard to find the budget on them a lot of the times.
It's a whole new thing.
You know, originally they were just going to release like one a month. Like they were going to release them
in the
like,
movie theaters.
Way separated.
Yeah.
Did they release these all at the same time?
Yeah. They released them a week apart.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
You had to wait a week for each. And personally, I think that is smart. Like a week apart made sense because it made you excited for the next one, but you still remembered everything and were ready to continue the story for the second and third one.
Yeah.
If it was a month apart, you're going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Like there's going to be some people that are like, I forget. Or like, you know what I mean? If you can't watch it again to like recap things.
Yeah.
I feel like the week was the smart idea.
I feel like this would have been like kind of fun to see in theaters, but at the same time, I think I kind of like watching this at home a little more than I would have liked watching these at theaters.
Yeah, they had that like, because they did, this one especially had that like Friday the 13th vibe. Yeah. I feel like it would be fun to see at like a drive-in.
Yeah.
Maybe even like some, so I feel like it was kind of fun to watch at home because it has that like cozy feel to it. Because Friday the 13th, I feel like it's fun to watch in a drive-in or in like just a cozy place.
Yeah, I would really like to see the second one at a drive-in. Yeah. Or, I mean, honestly, at this point, now that I've seen them all, I would probably watch all of them at a drive-in. Yeah. I just like trailed off into my own thoughts like, there.
Where are you?
I was like picturing the drive-in.
Yeah, you're like, here I am, I'm in a drive-in.
I was like, yeah, I could see that at a drive-in.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
I just pulled in.
Why are you guys here? You're interrupting my drive-in movie.
This is my daydream. Get the fuck out of here. Get a fuck out of my daydream.
So anyway, we already talked about a good amount of Fear Street and stuff and blah, blah, blah in the last episode. So I think we should just go right into this one. So part two kicks off with The Man Who Sold the World by Nirvana. It's a cover of a Bowie song. You're going to see a lot of Bowie stuff. And yeah, you're just going to see a lot of Bowie stuff in this movie. Honestly, this is Hell Elena, yeah. This is your movie.
I was going to say,
I was
going to
say,
it?
I loved it. Oh, it's so good. And then the fact that her name is Ziggy, her nickname is Ziggy, I was like, get it, girl.
Yeah, because wasn't her name, what was her name?
Her name is Shite.
Wasn't it Christina?
You're talking about the Ziggy character?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was her
That's
name?
That's Sadie Sink.
No, not her real name, like her real name in the movie. Because her real name is like
movie?
Not Ziggy.
Yeah, because Ziggy is like her nickname.
Because she's C. Berman.
Well, there's Cindy Berman, Ziggy Cindy. Berman.
Cindy's the sister.
Or Cynthia. Isn't it Cynthia? Am I just making things up? I might be things up.
Wait, what's going on? There's Cindy Berman and then there's Ziggy Berman. Is there some other thing that I'm
not
picking up on?
Yeah, but Ziggy's real name starts with a C because she is C. Berman. Like the character.
Well, okay. Well, as we see her in the movie, I mean, Ziggy is Ziggy. Didn't she just get a fake name in the end, right? Like she took her sister's name?
No. No. So Ziggy is C. Berman. Like, she's like, Gillian Gacup's, like,
Gillian Gacup's.
Because we said it as a joke before we started recording.
But I love it.
Gillian Jacobs, like, Ziggy is her.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when she's, like, on the stretcher, they're like, what's your name? And she's like, she says like her real name and they're like, oh, okay, C. Berman.
Like, she says like Cynthia or something.
Why do I think it's Christina?
You might be right. I might be,
but because like, it doesn't make sense for her name to be Ziggy no matter what it is, because you're just like, what? Like,
I think it was just because, like, you know, it was of the time and it was a big record a big persona. She probably was into him, so maybe they just called her Ziggy, like...
Yeah.
Wait, you know? So is Ziggy her nickname?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought they just did, like, a fucking swaparoo at the end. They were just, like, trying to hide some shit and do, like, some weird M. Night Shyamalan twist or something like that.
No, because that's the whole reason that she says her name at the end, because you're like, oh, C. C. Berman.
So they both have a name that starts with C, and they were just abbreviating the C for the sake of the...
Christine.
Is fucking stupid.
Yeah, her name is Christine.
And you're like, wait. Why?
Wait, that actually makes me really mad. I thought they were trying to do, like, something else. I didn't realize that they were just like, oh, yeah, it's a C.
What did you think?
I just thought they were stupid either way. I thought it was already a stupid explanation. I just kind of, like, moved on. I was like, all right, whatever. Dumb ending to a pretty good movie.
Oh, I liked the ending. I guess we'll get there.
Oh, it was a trick. It was a little trickster thing, though, because on The Hollywood Reporter, it said, because 1978 introduced Sink as Ziggy, viewers immediately surmised that Emily Rudd's Cindy Berman was Jacob C. Berman in the present.
I did, too.
But filmmakers Lee Janiak utilized a bit of trickery as 1978's ending revealed that Ziggy's real name is Christine Berman. And that's what it was, because in the beginning, I thought the same thing, that, like, Cindy, her older sister, was the one who lived. And I thought Ziggy was going to die.
As the whole thing, like, was going on, though, I only thought that Cindy was, like, C. Berman for, like, a minute. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, she doesn't look anything like Gillian Jacob, so it must be Ziggy.
Yeah, it became more and more apparent.
But I did scream, Gillian Jacobs, yas, when she came on my TV. Oh, have you seen, you've watched Love, because you made me watch Love. Have you seen Love? It's on Netflix right now. It's so fucking
good.
She
is amazing in it.
It's so good. Mickey,
you would love it.
I'm just still stuck on the fact that that whole thing was just, the whole name thing was stupid and unnecessary.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like wasn't mad at it.
Because she came off to me like a chick in the 70s who would have been nicknamed Ziggy. Like,
because she's not a Christine.
No, she's definitely not a Christine.
And she definitely was like, I'm not a Christine.
Yeah, and she just came off as a Ziggy. Like, you'd be like, yeah. And then, of course, at the end, when they're asking, like, what's your name? She's not going to say Ziggy because she's, like, dying. So she's like, it's Christine, just in case I kick it.
Well, what I have to say about that is, ooh.
Well, anyways, we see C. Berman, like, setting up her whole entire house. Like, she's like...
Lots of clocks.
All the clocks.
So many clocks.
Which I was like, okay, so maybe I'm just being stupid right now, but why does she have so many clocks?
I'm trying to remember.
Because...
Like, why does she need all those clocks?
What was the reason for that?
Because it's... she doesn't have a lot of watches.
From what I'm looking, and it's kind of what I thought, because they never really explain it, but I think it's, like, PTSD. I think she's just, like... working through a lot of trauma, and I think it keeps her on, like, a regimented schedule, and it, like, reminds her to do things because she feels like she's a little out of control, and, like, like, it reminds her to feed her dog, it reminds her to do this. I think she's just like,
you would just think that, like, you wouldn't want all that noise because, like, like, she has, like, a lot of alarms and stuff, and I'm like, I feel like that just makes you, like, a target.
I also don't think she sleeps a lot.
No, I don't think so.
So maybe that's the other thing, is, like, it wakes her up, like, it keeps her, like, constantly on edge.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she ever wants to, like, relax into complacency in case one of those killers comes back or Seraphir comes back or whatever. So she's like, I gotta be, like, jolted into consciousness at all times.
Yeah.
That's just my take.
But we see her roaming around the house with, like, all of those clocks everywhere and her fucking yappy-ass dog. I'm like, why would you get that dog? It's not gonna defend you.
But it's gonna warn you.
It's gonna warn you, but, like, wouldn't you want, like, a fucking, like, Doberman or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
Or, like, Great Dane.
I don't think Ziggy's worried. I think she's like, I can fuck shit up.
Yeah, that's true.
So, as long as that dog warns me.
Yeah, I think, I guess you're right. I think she, like, wants to fuck shit up, like, as vengeance, probably, for her sister.
Precisely.
Because, spoiler alert, her sister dies.
Pretty gnarly.
Yeah, pretty gnarly. But, yeah, so we see that she's, like, doing her nighttime routine and everything, and then it goes on for, like, quite some time, and you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And then somebody, but I think it's supposed to, like, build up suspense, because then you realize, like, someone's breaking in.
Home invasion. Ooh.
Of course. It's Dina breaking and entering. Like, of course it is.
Of course it's Dina.
Yeah, honestly, literally, why is... Of course Dina's breaking into someone's house. She's fucking absurd, dude.
She really is.
She is absurd.
I'm fully converted into the fact that Dina is absurd. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm so glad. I'm glad we got there.
And I love that. So she's, like, trying to explain to C. Berman, like, yo, like, you gotta check out my girlfriend. Like...
Yeah, she's literally just like, hey, look at Linda Blair over here. You want to touch that thing? And she's like, what? No, get that away from me.
Hey, Leah, you want to touch that thing?
And no. She's literally like, yeah, no, she says something like, yeah, you guys got to go.
Like,
yeah,
that's, I'd be like, I am not dealing with this.
She literally
shit.
Does. Literally. She's like, yeah, she's like, don't bring a possessed girl to my house. Like, just fuck off.
Yeah, I've been through enough.
But eventually, they like talk her into being like, please help us. So they like tie Sam, is it? To the, yeah. Sam to the radiator.
Yeah, they chain her to the radiator.
Put her in the bathroom, lock yeah. her up, throw away the key. She's like, all right, if you do that, you can talk to me for like 5 minutes max.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then she tells them a whole ass movie worth of a story.
She tells them an epic tale.
A tale of epic proportions.
She tells them like the Iliad.
Yeah, so we zoot back over to 1978. And it's 1978 at summer camp.
We go back to 1978 and it's 1978.
Yeah. Which was nuts. When it's at, when we went back to 1978 and it was 1978,
it was fucking like, crazy.
What a mind fuck.
It was the craziest. That's when I knew. I was like, whoa.
But honestly, when we went back to 1978, it immediately was like, whoa.
It is like, 1978.
Whoa. Shit is real back here. Because it's immediately
yeah.
Sadie Sink's character, Ziggy, running through the forest, getting chased by these, like, demon bullies.
I was like, okay, what's about to happen here? Because they're literally, like, screaming at her that yeah. she's a witch. And then they're like, we're going to hang you up to the tree. And I was like, you're going to hang, witch. I was like, whoa. And they literally, like, one of them's, like, directing the other. They're like, tie her up. And they do.
And her name was Sheila.
Yeah, fucking Sheila. And then she's like yelling at her and Ziggy gets a good fucking right hook in there and like hits one of them in the mouth. And then I'm like,
it was Sheila, I think.
I think it was Sheila.
Yeah.
And then Sheila's pissed off. So she's like, we're going to burn you like just like the witch. And I was like,
they tie her hands above her head to the tree branch. So she's literally hanging there.
Yeah.
Like helpless. And then Sheila takes out a lighter. And starts coming at her. And even her friends are like, whoa, whoa,
like,
whoa.
Sheila, stop.
Sheila, like, we can't actually Salem Witch Trials this. Like, we can't do that.
And for a minute, I literally thought that they... Because, like, Sheila says to one of them, she's like, hold her legs. And then, like,
yeah.
I thought they were really going to do it. I was scared.
And they did. She burns her.
She does. She burns under her arm. But yeah. then... I didn't think that these were camp counselors, but later we find out that they are camp counselors, and because all of them look the same age, and they're like, stop, like, get her down. And then the guy yells at Ziggy because it's like her like fifth time getting in trouble, and he's like, you're out of here. And she's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was all pretty fitting because I feel like in a lot of these like old, like, you know, camp counselor kind of movies, you always have the bullies and you always have like bullies just going way too far and going yes. ridiculous. And then also after like the last Fear Street and after kids just running around going like, let's go fucking murder those kids. I'm like, okay, yeah, they're probably just going to start this off by trying to murder someone. It makes
yeah,
sense.
Why not?
Well, the scary thing was, and it like really reminded me of the Shanda Scherer case that
it
we
did. Like for an out of control group of girls, especially
mm-hmm.
like, and because some of the other girls were being like, you know, you're taking this too far. Like you need to calm down. And I was like, ooh, this is getting like a little real for yeah. me. And I was like, and this is like really fucked up what they're doing.
It was getting really.
I was
freaky.
Glad when it ended. I was like, okay,
yeah, fuck Sheila,
fuck you, Sheila.
Yeah, I don't like Sheila. She very much gave off the same energy as like the bully from Sleepaway Camp, the main chick.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
I still haven't seen that.
This whole movie feels very Sleepaway Camp. Like, yes. It's obviously very Friday the 13th, too, but I feel like, more than anything, like, it almost feels like the exact same, like, fucking, like, the exact same camp as, like,
it does.
Sleepaway Camp.
I feel like there had to have been some inspiration pulled from Sleepaway Camp. Like, obviously, a Friday the 13th was, like, the obvious,
yeah.
you know, homage here, because it's like summer camp, that's the first thing you think of is Friday the 13th.
It didn't even really feel like that Friday the 13th-ish to me, other than like
yeah.
the setting.
Oh, no, it did, Ash.
The original one, yeah, I was going to say, because you've only seen the second one.
Yeah, I actually
yeah,
have
you haven't
seen
the first. So it definitely felt like,
oh.
but I could see a lot of Sleepaway Camp.
And it had like a lot of parts from like part six. Like a lot of people thought that a lot of the movie was shot at part six. And there was actually like a scene in this that was shot at part, like at the same camp as part six was shot at. And also apparently a scene in the last Fear Street too.
Oh, cool.
Was shot there, if I remember right. But
oh, that's crazy.
Just a lot of summer camp homages in this.
Yeah, which I loved. I'd love a good summer camp horror movie.
I know, me too. And it's funny because I never went to summer
me
camp.
Me neither. I went to theater camp.
I went
did to not
day
go to summer
camp.
Camp.
I broke my pelvis at day camp.
How'd you break your pelvis at day camp?
Cheerleading.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just going to be like, yeah, you know, fighting someone. They kicked my pelvis.
No, it's hard to break your pelvis.
It is. But you did it.
Hurts. It's the only bone I've ever broken other than like fingies.
It's a pretty big one.
So after all of that near murder stuff, on the other side of things, we get introduced to pastime Cindy Berman, or, well, what I thought at first was C. Berman, what I think most people think is the adult C. Berman at the time. She seems to be really upset about her coworkers having sex and smoking joints. And I also want to point out that they are stereotypically listening to Cherry Bomb.
Yes, they are. Thank you. As soon as I heard Cherry Bomb, I was like, all right.
Hello, Daddy. Hello, Mom. Cherry Bomb.
So good. It's like, I love how off sync we were there.
I know.
I was like, that was great. That was good. We're going to form a musical group. Scream the musical.
So Ziggy heads over to the nurse's office to get her arm bandaged up by Nurse Lane, who is the mother of Ruby Lane, who we know murdered 7 classmates and killed herself.
And if you remember her, she was that bad ass woman from the first one.
I just feel like we're gonna get a full movie for each of them. Like, I just feel it.
They have not ruled it out. Like, they have come out, they've said, like, I see it as like a Marvel Cinematic Universe of like Fear Street. Or we can, like, branch off.
Would love that more.
And I think
anything.
People are, like, dying for them. So.
I need a horror Marvel, because I'm not a Marvel person.
And Ruby Lane is just...
She's it.
I mean, that I need that movie. I need it.
Yeah, when I found out that she was the nurse's daughter, I was like, whoa, that's wild.
I was ready.
But she really got into the wild in with it. She was, like, wrapping her arm, and she's, like... She got, like, weird. She started, like... I thought she was, like, saying, like, satanic things for a minute. It sounded like she was, like, speaking in tongues.
Yeah, she did, actually.
She was going a little off. She's bandaging her really hard. She's talking about,
really
like,
tight.
Oh, yeah, my daughter, she was a good girl, and then I don't know what happened. Just bandaging, and Sadie's like, or not Sadie, Ziggy. Ziggy's like, hey, can you stop doing this? You're kind of losing all circulation. Oh, wait, I'm dying. Help, please.
Stop.
She also never loosens the bandage, which I was like, that's very tight. Like,
yeah,
you're going to run into some issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. Like, why didn't she just get a new bandage?
Yeah, I'd be like, we need to pull this off.
There's a lot to do. It was color wars.
It's true. That's important.
What are color wars?
It's like a big thing.
It
we
is
were
a
just
thing
talking
in,
about
we
this.
We were. It's like a big thing in summer camp, which, by again, we both say we've never been to summer camp, so I can't claim
but
it.
But I had, like, friends that went.
I was going to say, I had friends who went. And then, of course, watching Bug Juice.
Yep.
You saw Color War. Bug Juice, that show on the Disney Channel that was about summer camp. It was awesome.
Did you never see that either?
I've never seen Bug Juice. I've never even heard of that.
What is it?
Comes in a jar. Bug juice.
Or no, it doesn't come in a jar. That's what it is.
Bug juice. It doesn't come in a jar. Bug juice
comes from who you are.
This literally does not even sound real, what you're saying
it's
to me
real.
Right now.
The only reason why I know what it is because Elena used to watch it.
It's because of me. Because Bug Juice was my shit.
It was, like, way before our Disney Channel. It was, like, their Disney Channel.
Like, it was, like, their Disney Channel. Because when Disney Plus came around... And I got it for the girls.
Oh, is Bug Juice on it?
No. And it's a big fail for Disney Plus.
Because
when that came out,
it?
All these old shows were on it. And all my generation, all my oldies, my aged over here, we were all screaming, being like, oh my God, Bug Juice is going to be on there. I can't wait to watch it. Not on it.
I wonder why. Did they ever explain it?
I think they did a new season of it, like, more recently, like a lame one. And that one's on there, but none of the old ones are.
I'm trying to think of anything, like, problematic happened.
That, I'm assuming it is rife with problems because it was, like, when I was...
Yeah, they probably, like, couldn't put it on anymore.
But it's like, come on, just give it to us.
Yeah, just, you know, we know that it was different. Well, even with, like, the Disney shows now, like, they put... Or, like, the old Disney movies.
They put warnings and stuff.
Yeah, because a lot of them don't necessarily hold up.
You can find it on YouTube, though. Go watch it on YouTube.
You know
it's
what
great.
Else you can find on YouTube? This is like a real deep sidetrack, but Newlyweds. Me and Elena did that during quarantine.
We did.
Who greenlit the name Bug Juice for a show?
You know what the
I
funny
guess
thing
it's a
is?
Camp thing.
We were talking and it has nothing to do with the show. Like, you never know what Bug Juice is.
No, but I guess Bug Juice is a summer camp thing. Like, everyone who's been to summer camp, I think, knows what Bug Juice is.
Should I text my friend Marissa?
Yeah. So it'd be like, does Bug Juice come from who you are? Or does it come in a jar?
I'm literally going to say that.
I hate that song that you sung to me, like, with every
That's
fiber
the
of my being.
Theme
and
song.
I like, and I live for making terrible songs that annoy people, and that hurt me.
It's, I feel like I need to, like, we need to pause this, like, the forward motion of this for a second.
Yeah, that's, go ahead, play that.
Okay, so we see, like, Cindy, and she's, like, mopping up the schlep from the toilet, which I was like, you guys should, like, probably, like, have somebody come check that out, because what the fuck is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that was, get a doctor.
Like,
there.
That's some kind of mold.
You mean all that red moss and shit, that disgusting, gooey bullshit that they just thought was normal?
That's exactly what I'm talking
no
about.
No one questioned. Ugh.
There was a lot of things that I was like, where are the adults at this camp?
That was a lot.
But her boyfriend kept being like, oh, like, not Cindy Berman doing this. Like, not Cindy Berman swearing.
I know. He was
Cindy Berman. And I, at one point, I was like, I get it. It's Cindy Berman. Like, I get it.
We get it.
I understand who she is. I was getting real mad.
I do get you for that, because, I mean, they're really just kind of, like, pushing it on you. Not only that she's Cindy Berman, but also that she is just, like, this little sweetheart that, like, doesn't do anything wrong and blah, blah. And I was like, all right, I get it. Just say she's straight edge.
Yeah, like, just put X's on the back of her hands. Wash them in the bathroom to drink like the band.
And then we can go pretty much into this, right? Because I feel like not a lot happens in the beginning. Like, there's a lot of introduction, to be honest.
It's a lot of setup. Like, we find out that Alice and Cindy used to be, like, best friends.
Yeah.
Alice is, like, the like, rocker chick that's, like,
she's a cherry
bomb. Her boyfriend to cherry bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I was like, oh,
that was
okay.
A lot.
Straight up porn.
Yeah, I was like, that's a lot going on. But they used to be best friends, but something happened. Where and it's, like, alluded to that, like, Cindy ratted on her about something or something. So it's, like,
she's
they hate each other now. Yeah. So that was set up as, like, later for that, because immediately you're like, oh, so they're gonna go through something very intense together and come out best friends again, and then one of them will die.
Yeah,
like I immediately knew
it was very stereotypical, and it did kind of make me sad that that did happen again, because I feel like they already did that in the last movie too, and I was like, you don't got to do it again.
Well, this time it wasn't romantic.
That's true.
No, it wasn't, but still, it's just felt a little overused, you know.
Yeah, I could see it.
Just a little bit.
But then if you look at it, like, the summer camp is such a cliche.
Yeah.
That maybe they were just, like, leaning into, like,
the cliche of it all.
Because it's like, it doesn't feel terrible or, like, super annoying, but it's just kind of, like, it's just very, very predictable.
Oh, for sure. Because as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, they're going to go through an epic adventure together and come out on top, but one of them will die.
Yep. And that's exactly what happens.
I feel like the only thing that wasn't super predictable about this one was really just the whole confusing name thing at the end, and I don't even think it was that clever. I think it was just confusing as shit.
I wasn't that confused by it.
I've seen other people, like, confused. Pretty much most people that I've seen post about it think that something else, like, something different happened. Like, either they were confused as different people, or, like, it's just a name switch or something else, because I didn't look into it too much. I just watched it, and I was just like, all right, it just seems dumb and confusing. I figured we would just talk about it later, and I'd get, like, the full answer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, everything that I saw, like, even before I watched the movie, like, I saw a few people just say, like, I don't know what was up with the whole C. Berman thing at the end.
I just found this article. I was just showing Elena. I wasn't, like, showing her something and not going to tell you. It said how Joan Jett and David Bowie inspired the non-binary star of Netflix Fear Street. So
Alice
was inspired by Joan Jett and David Bowie.
That makes a lot of sense.
It definitely does.
Because I mean, she was definitely Joan Jett. Like, I saw Joan Jett immediately.
Yes.
And the fact that they were playing, like, Cherry Bomb and everything, just kind of, like, but yeah, I could see a little Bowie in there.
Yeah.
A little early Bowie.
So anyway, after Mrs. Ziggy goes over and has that weird instance with Nurse Lane kind of just walks into the mess hall on some insane lady shit, and she tries to stab C. Berman's boyfriend right in the face.
Tommy.
Up until he, like, shoves her into a wall and then incapacitates her.
And she says, like, I'm sorry, like, this, I have to do this. I saw your name on the wall. Like, and then she says, like, either way, you're going to die tonight.
Yeah.
Like, something's going to happen here that you're going
to
die.
She says one way or another.
So immediately you're like, okay, like, what the fuck does that mean? What wall?
Yeah.
Where's, like, your name?
What? Excuse me?
What's happening?
But they chalk it up to, like, oh, she's crazy. Like,
because her daughter went nuts, like, you know.
And then they're talking about it, and I thought I liked this little part, because I forget who's talking, but they're like, oh, yeah, like, it's one of the officers. And he's like, yeah, like, she said her, like, daughter just went crazy out of nowhere, and then, like, she just went crazy out of nowhere. Like, no, that doesn't happen. And it's like, it does.
It does.
In Shadyville.
They said she's nuts, just like her kid.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing about, like, the officers and some of the other characters in the summer camp, too, did you know that a lot of the, like, characters in this ended up growing up to be characters that are in the first movie, like in 96?
94.
94, same thing.
Pretty much.
Might as well be honest. I did notice that because, like, Nick and...
Nick Good grows up to be BJ Novak. Pretty
crazy.
That's
right, he does. He certainly does.
The officer that talks to Nick, though, because, like, obviously you can tell that he wants to be sheriff and they have, like, a little discussion about that. I was like, you couldn't have found a better wig for him because that black, like, toupee that they had.
Black hair and then, like, his little, like... his peach fuzz mustache.
They dyed that toupee with shoe polish. I will not be told otherwise.
They just used a Sharpie on it.
I was like, what the fuck is that? Like,
they had an intern just Sharpie the hell
out of that.
That's not
even 70s hair. That's just like what you had left over.
That's just bad.
That's just bad.
Yeah. That was bad high school production.
That was actually supposed to be Nick Good's dad, and apparently he ended up being the cop that got his gun stolen by Dina in part one.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think of that. With that whole exchange, I think I was, like, writing something down about how bad that wig was, so I didn't even know what that exchange was. I was like, no.
Yeah, he came around a couple, like, in the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie, and that was my exact same thought. I was like, wow, that hairstyle is a choice.
Yeah, it's real bad.
It's a real moment.
It was something else. So the ambulance and the police are still at the camp checking everything out, and then Bad Girls Club starts because, like, the bitchy girl tells Sadie to go check her stuff because there was an accident in Camp at 5, and I was like, oh... so there's going to be a mattress in a swimming pool. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Following. You keep calling Ziggy Sadie.
Did I? Oh, same thing.
Because it's her real name.
Dude, you know what? She's Sadie. She's Sadie.
Wait, that's not her real name. Her real name's Christine.
No, like the actress.
Oh,
her name
I was
is Sadie
like,
Sink.
No, guys. I've gone over this.
We got three names going around. Look,
oh, okay.
Look, Ziggy could be Ziggy, Christine, or Sadie. It just, if you hear any of those, just know we're talking about the ginger girl.
Like, there's
interchangeably.
There's your key.
I love Ziggy.
I loved her too.
My girl.
The fucking like shit that they did in her room though, I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
They wrote like she like sucks cock. Like she like they were like she's a slut. Like they wrote like terrible things.
I was like, are you all okay?
I was like, wow, 1978 was that brutal too?
Well, specifically they wrote Ziggy sucks cocks in hell, which is a shout out to the
Exorcist. Yeah. But I was like, damn. Calm down.
Yeah.
Like, she's not Reagan. Chill out.
Yeah, it was a lot. And then Nick Good comes in and he, like, tries to cheer her up. And I'm like, you're a counselor. You need to calm down. She's a child.
Yeah, he immediately got, like, I was like, stand down.
Yeah, real creepy
stand
with it.
Stand down.
And he calls her Carrie at one point, and then he, like, leaves and he goes, carry on. And I was like,
Yeah, I never liked Nick to begin with.
Nick gave me bad vibes the whole time.
I could tell the way that they were, like, making you kind of want to root for it, that you shouldn't root for it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I
don't
know.
It was too heavy-handedly rooting for it.
Yeah, I was like, there's no love on Fear Street.
No way.
Also, Drew Scheid, a.k.a. Gary, shows up, and I will never forget this guy, because he plays
Gary,
the incredibly forgettable guy in Halloween 2018.
Amazing. Who was he?
The incredibly forgettable guy.
Yeah, I literally forgot him.
He's cast as that.
He's the guy with curly hair and kind of the long face.
Oh, gotcha. The
I
other
loved
counselor.
Him in this.
He was cute.
I gotta, like,
poor Gary.
I like him, but like, actually, there's no but. I do like him.
Yeah.
I like him as an actor, but like his characters are always just like, I like him, but don't like him at the same time.
I think he's just made to be there. And make you be like, oh, there's Gary.
Hey, guy.
And then, like, something happens later and you're like, oh, fuck, I forgot about Gary. And then something bad happens and you're like, oh, Gary. Like, it's just, that's how I felt.
And then again, there's another meeting where all the teenagers are just like, hey, let's murder our ops. So as the color war starts, like, so does Guitar Hero 3 as we segue right into
Carry
Hell yes.
on my wayward son.
And then that's when we see that Tommy is having, like, all those visions that are not super unlike all the visions that Sam was having in part one, the dirt visions, as we would say.
Dirt visions. And he's also getting, like, sweatier and sweatier.
Yeah, he's real nervous. I mean, I'd get really sweaty, too, if someone was like, either way, you're gonna die tonight.
Yeah, he just, like, he was sweating a lot. His hair was getting greasier. I was like, ooh.
Summer
okay.
camp. Ooh. Just summer camp things.
Yeah, it was yucky.
He was like,
wasn't into it.
Then they break into Nurse Lane's office, and they see like some, they were like, oh, like she must have been on something, like I'll prove it to you. And they see this little pill bottle, but it's like unmarked, and Cindy Berman is like, oh, like, see, look, she was on something. It is just like medicine. I'm like, how do you know that she was on anything? Like, that could be,
yeah, like people are prescribed medicine, like,
yeah, like it's the nurse's office.
Exactly.
And later on we do find out that it's just Tylenol. So yeah. I'm like, can you calm down? But more importantly, they see this like notebook laid on her desk, and it has all these like pictures, and we don't know then, but now we know it's a map, and it's all about like the witch's mark and stuff. And they start flicking through it, and they're like, wow, she really was losing it. She really was losing it.
Also, on the Tylenol thing, I do love that for like 30 minutes, that one hippie dude is just walking around just saying like L484 or whatever it was, just like trying to figure it out. And then in the end, oh, yeah. Like, oh, wait, Tylenol. I got it.
That's it. It's acetaminophen.
Arnie, what are you talking about?
L484. It just hit me. It's fucking
Tylenol.
It's so
funny. I loved that guy.
So now Alice and her boyfriend, they run off. They're following the map. And then Tommy and Cindy had to follow because they're kind of just like, all right, well, I guess they're going to go do witch shit. We're going to go do witch shit too. And they come across a bunch of graves and then the whole witch house, which is underground, which got me fucked up. I'm not going underground. Yeah.
It had such Blair Witch vibes for a minute, yep, that I was like, I am so freaked out, because for some reason, the Blair Witch Project is the one movie I've just never been able to get over. Like, it scares
because
the shit out of me.
So well done because of what you don't see.
Yes, exactly.
They have, that is one of those, like, truly, I mean, it's not so underrated, but it's like, it is truly underrated in my opinion, because it's just so well done.
It's such a good movie.
I think what you don't show someone is everything. Yeah. Because it's, if you do it correctly, it's so much scarier than showing the big bad.
I agree.
Yeah, I disagree. You guys are talking to the wrong person. I fucking hate the Blair Witch. It's literally just a bunch of idiots running around going like, oh, dude, give me another cigarette in the fucking dirt for like 10. And then in the end, they're just like, oh my God, look at some sticks. Fuck that movie.
But you know what? They were the first ones to use the internet for like viral marketing and to make it seem like it was a real thing. Like, they made it seem like it was real found footage that you were going to watch. I went to that movie theater thinking I was watching real found footage.
And then you've thought that for like the next like 10 years, because you didn't find out for a long time.
There was no social media. There wasn't Twitter and shit. Like, so it wasn't people being like, oh, you idiots, that's not real. Like, it wasn't that. We were able to be whimsical and think that that was real. And then all of a sudden it got totally burst open for us.
Well, they just did such a good job with it. Like, it felt real.
It did.
Still feels real.
Still feels real. And this felt like the Blair Witch house.
It felt so much. Because I was like, what is about to fucking happen?
I was waiting for that basement with the handprint.
That's exactly. Because it felt like the entrance into that. And I was like, oh my God. I got like PTSD real quick.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
They also like snooped around there for like the longest time. I was like, okay, like she, and one of the first things that Alice says is like, because it clearly like the candles were just blown out or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, like somebody was just here. And then they spend like a bunch of fucking time down there. And I'm like, do you not think that somebody's not going to come back if they were just there?
Oh yeah. It bothered me how much they were snoop-a-looping. Because yeah, if I went in there and those candles were warm, I'd be like, we're so far out of here. But they just went further in and further, and they're touching shit. I was like, mm-mm.
And then I'm like, girl, there's only one fucking exit, and you came. It's an exit and an entrance.
Yeah, no.
I wrote down, I was like, no, we came, we saw, we conquered. Get the fuck out of there.
Also, that's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
One entrance and one exit? That's not good.
That's no bueno.
Well, I don't know if demons are worried about fires.
Shut your cave right down. Shut your witch den right the fuck down.
Your fucking underground bunker here? Done. Done. Finito.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really like this bunker. There's just like a lot going on in there. There's a witch's mark. There's like a giant beating like live moss. I don't like anything that's going on down there.
So some of it, I was like, I could incorporate that into my decor.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's some of it, I was like, stuff. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, as soon as they walked down there, I was like, yeah.
Alina was like, get into it. Yeah.
I was literally like, I'm home. But I was like, that's someone else's home and I don't want to be there. But
you're like, that's a funky
it.
Home.
I dig it though. I'm into it.
Different energies.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, they keep walking around down here and then they kind of see that Tommy's name is etched in the wall. They're like, oh, okay, well, that's what she was talking about. So what's going on? And then over on the other side, Tommy, you know, good old dirt visions. He's done. He's pretty much just going to start murdering everyone now. Tommy has stuff to do.
And right before Tommy's lane was Ruby Lane's name.
Oh, yeah. So you start seeing, because there's a few names up there, you start seeing that the names are correlating with some bad shit.
And then this one stuff starts getting fun for me, because honestly, I thought the beginning of this, like, the first, like, 40 minutes of this was fairly slow to me. Like, there was a lot of exposition and, like, a lot of setup that you needed, but it was going, like, fairly slow. I was like, all right, when is the killing going to start? And I think it was just, like, in comparison, because, you know, the first Fear Street, literally, we had cool-ass kills within, like, the first, like, couple literally. Minutes. So I was like, all right, like, when is this going to start? Like, it being the part two, I was like, I want more kills. I want them now.
But when it starts...
They made up for it.
I don't even know where the fuck he found his axe at first, but I feel like Tommy just got possessed and he was like, all right, bro, I got an axe. Let's start fucking murdering people.
And he just splits open Alice's boyfriend's face.
The way his head just like
peeled open like a banana,
like a grapefruit.
It just like, and he hits him like twice, so you see the first one and then you see a second one like busted open.
Yeah.
And they did with like in the first one with the bread slicer.
Yup.
How they don't cut away.
They don't pan away.
You that, and they gave you this, and I thought it was really good. Like the special effects were good,
especially like the further and further you got into each different kill, like especially some of the last ones, I was like, oh, like, I'm watching somebody die right now.
Oh, yeah. Like, we'll get into it when we get into that one scene. Yes. Which I think you know what we're talking about. That epic scene. I can't wait to talk about that, because that was...
Oh, my God. Outrageous. I texted Alina. I'm already just like, I'm going to get into it. I texted Alina. I was like, I love you. I literally did.
I can't. When we talk about that, it's going to be a...
It made me, like, sad.
Intense.
But until we get to that, back at Shadyside, the one bitchy bully girl who... Like I said, reminds me of that bully from Sleepaway Camp. She's just kind of... I can't see her as anything
Sheila.
Else. But she gets a note. Yeah, Sheila.
Sheila.
I'll never remember that. She gets a note from a guy that says, meet me in the bathroom. And she's like, oh, fuck yeah, baby. Woo, because Fear Street loves bathroom sex. Oh,
hell yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Who doesn't?
Me. It's yucky.
So what actually happens is the good old cockroaches in a bucket and lock you in the bathroom trick.
Ooh. Who else thought that classic. Bathroom was going to catch fire at some point?
Yeah.
I thought that eventually, like when later on when they're like, oh, fuck, like she's still in there. I thought they were going to come across that bathroom just up in a fucking blaze.
Just ashes.
Because I was like, there's no way that wouldn't have happened. When she was trying to get out of there, she would have knocked over one of those candles.
Oh, for sure. And what we find out is that like Nick... helped like Ziggy get payback by like going into the room that had all the bugs and all the terrariums and stuff and using those.
Because when he was in her room and like he saw what they had done to her, he was like, oh, like I have a good idea. And she was like, oh, are you gonna help me? Like, what, are we gonna start a book club or something?
And he was like, better.
Yep. A bug club. And then we see that bugs everywhere. That also, it gave me like the crack.
Yeah.
The crack. No, like, you know, because I was going to say it gave me the craft on steroids. Like,
yeah.
Like it did. Just bugs everywhere.
It did give me craft vibes.
It gave me craft vibes.
It gave me the crack on steroids.
Yeah.
Also, I really can't believe that Tommy, like, brutally murdered a whole chubby 12-year-old with an axe. Like, that shit was crazy.
Oh, my God.
With the glasses.
But I loved that little kid.
Sad.
He was a cutie. He was such a smush, and I knew it. Oh, I knew the second he came on screen, I was like, your minutes are numbered, and I'm going to appreciate everyone I have with you.
He was so adorable.
But this is the thing, and I'm warning you with 1666, they are not afraid to kill kids at all.
Yeah, no.
That is not something they shy away from in this
series. We found that out in summer camp.
Oh, honey, you're going to find it out in 1666.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's always a little bit hard to watch, but at the same time, I do love when a movie will be like, all right, fuck it, we're killing everyone today.
They went there. They definitely went there. And he did. He, like, slaughtered a 12-year-old.
There's, like, that scene where right before he goes and, like, puts the axe into him, he kind of just, like, looks up with, like, these puppy dog eyes, and he has glasses, too. And you see, like, the glare in his glasses. I was like, oh, my God.
I know. I was like, this is so intense.
It'll send ya.
It really did.
And then, good and Ziggy are a thing now, which is just really disappointing.
Yeah. Hate it.
I don't like
him. Could have gone without that.
Yeah, hate to see it. But also, you might have forgot about, you know, the whole Cindy and Alice thing, because they're kind of just underground for a while. They kind of got chased around. But they're still around. They're still stuck in the witch's house. They're still coming across giant, disgusting, slimy, beating heart-looking things, causing slime visions when you touch them.
Because when they were running away from Tommy, they got, like, rocked into, like, a certain place. And they
underground tunnels.
Yeah, into, like, the tunnels.
Yeah, they got trapped in the corner of the room by Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Correct. And I love that Alice just, like, didn't want to try at all. Like, Cindy was like, we have to, like, figure out how to get out of here. And she was like, we're not getting out of here. You're going to die here.
And I was like, wow, okay. I was like,
why are you so ready to die?
Defeatist attitude.
Like, you're just like, we're literally going to starve to death together down here. Like, let's go.
And I'd be like, listen, I know that your boyfriend just got his head split open by my
boyfriend.
Yeah,
I was going to say, like, to be fair, her boyfriend did just get his entire face split open.
No,
like,
for sure, for
ago.
Sure.
She might be feeling slightly, like, melancholy.
Yeah. But I was like, whoa, like, you're just going to starve to death and you're, like, not really that upset about it.
I'm going to be, like, completely honest. I feel like that on most days, just, like, day-to-day, regularly, before my boyfriend gets, like, you know, his head sliced in half by an axe. So, like, I'm not mad at Alice. I might be like that in that situation, just if I found myself in that situation. I'd be like, nah, dude, those are big rocks. I'm not dealing with this. You want to try to survive? That's on you. Me? I'm good right here.
We would drag your ass through those tunnels.
Yeah, we absolutely would.
By your ankles.
I would make it such a problem for you that you would give up at some point. I'd be like, bitch, deadass, like, I'm not moving. You see this spot right here? This is me. This is all me.
I'd excavate you.
It's true.
But we see that also that it's kind of a thing that Cindy is just, like, so wrapped up in her own shit that she doesn't realize other people's shit. Because, like, she, even in the beginning, like, she's yelling at Ziggy, like, we can't go home, like, you can't get me kicked out. And Ziggy's like, you don't even care that I just got, like, almost hung to a tree and burned. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
and then,
literally.
Like, even now, like, Alice, when she's down there with Alice, she, like, isn't even recognizing that her boyfriend just got, like, axed in the face. So it's clearly, like, a common thing that Cindy just kind of cares about herself and, like, what's going on in her fucking neck of the woods.
To drive that point in a little more, not only did he just get axed in the face, he did also just get axed in the face by her boyfriend, too.
Exactly. Right. So it's like, that's a whole other element to it.
Exactly. For sure.
Like, there's a lot going on there.
But they were definitely trying to set it up that she just, like, didn't give a fuck about anybody but herself. And I was like, I don't really like you.
I don't like you.
And that's just a really good segue into me saying, fuck Nick. I don't like Nick. The second everything starts to shut down, he turns into, again, that overstepping boundaries, just, like, weird man. He's just like, hey, so, like, what, Ziggy, you're going to go help your sister that you've hated since you were a baby? You should probably just let her die. Worry about yourself.
And it's like, excuse
that
me, sir?
Was a lot. I was like, no matter if I hate my sister or not, I'm going to make sure that she doesn't get an axe to the face, my dog.
Yeah, that changes things a bit.
Yeah, like, blood is thicker than water.
that made me like so just fuming angry, because like she did say like, oh yeah, I've hated her since I was a kid, but then literally immediately after she was like having a moment where she was like, yeah, but I still love my sister, and then he's just like, huh, what, you love your sister, you should let her die, what are you, stupid?
Exactly. And it's one of those like just that kind of dude just yeah. manipulating.
It was very grooming for his
own, exactly, for his own benefit here, like just to get some. And it's like, get the fuck out of here, Nick Good.
Yeah, and I was like, Ziggy, like you fuck should have seen through that. Like, I know it wouldn't have worked for the plot line, but like you were supposed to see through that because of who you are.
But then again, she was really young. She was too young for him to be grooming her like that.
Because he's older. Because at one point
he knew what he was doing.
At one point, he's like landing on Thick, and then that guy that everybody forgets about, he's like
Gary,
dude. She's a camper.
Yeah. Like, even Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Even, I loved that
even
part.
Even unbelievably unforgettable Gary is like, are you seeing this, everybody?
He like, she's a child.
He's like, dude, like, get the fuck out of here.
I loved that.
I guess I forgot about that, too, because they did mention it a lot, but like they all just look like young kids to me. But
yeah, when,
in reference to, like, again, I didn't go to camp or anything. How old are the counselors and how old are the...
Seems like the counselors were like 17, 18, and then the kids were probably like 14 at the oldest.
Oh, shit.
Which, like, did happen. Like, when we were talking about, like, the Oklahoma Girl Scout murders, yeah. like, the counselors are like... I think the counselor's age starts, like a junior counselor is like 15 or 16.
They have to be at least 16 years of age.
Which it's like, I don't want a 16-year-old taking care of my like 13 and below-year-old.
Oh, hell no.
Fuck that.
So also, you might have forgot about Sheila, you know, the bitchy camper girl, aka Bug Bucket Locked in Room, because, hey, I did at this point in the movie. I literally completely forgot she existed.
Same. It was great.
Once they locked her in the bathroom... She was gone to me.
Yep. I wrote, honestly, I wouldn't give a fuck where Sheila was.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Like, if they just wrote her out after she was in the bathroom, I would have never noticed. She was so little in this spot to me.
Yeah, I would have just moved on. Like, she legitimately was, like, a beat away from hanging you from a tree.
Yeah, like, she would have.
Or burning you alive. And she actually did burn your flesh. I would be like, whatever happens to her... That's in the universe's hands now. See you later. Well, like, I'm off.
The only reason she didn't continue to burn her was because
cut.
The people...
I mean, caught.
She got caught,
she
yeah.
got cut.
Also, before that, because really quickly we were talking about how there's just, like, no fucking adults. They... Because at this point, they realize that there's, like, a fucking murderer on the loose. So they're getting everybody in the mess hall. And Gary and... Nick there are talking to each other. And he's like, did you count them? And he's like, yeah, there's, like, 30 missing at least. And I was like... Where the fuck are the adults?
Like, what? You're just missing 30.
I like how he doesn't even have, like, a proper number, too. Like, the exact number. He's like, at least 30.
At least 30. At least. He's like, I counted, but, like, I don't even know how many there are to begin with.
He's like, honestly, at least 30 could be 75. I'm like, not real sure.
Also, probably because there's, like, six of you that are in charge of a camp of 60. Like, yeah. Why is that happening?
No, it's outrageous.
It actually makes perfect sense because even in reference to me just mentioning the fact that Sheila still exists a second ago, no one remembers that she exists. And even when they mention her right now, it's like someone just mentions like, oh, hey, Sheila. And then we cut off to another scene and we still don't even see her for like 15, 20 minutes. So I think it tracks that they're just losing people. They don't know where anyone is.
Yeah, they're not concerned at all.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. At one point, Nick like runs by these two kids like that are hiding in the woods and he's like, get back to the mess hall. And you're like, so they're just going to run through the woods where a serial killer is?
Yeah.
You're not going to escort them? Like, just, and they're like two little kids.
Yeah, they're
like,
small.
You just sent 2 8-year-olds running through the woods in the middle of the night with a serial killer loose.
Not only a serial killer, an axe murderer.
An axe murderer.
Like,
a possessed axe murderer.
Yeah. But before that, we see these two people like fucking in this random cabin. This scene was like very
because
random.
Because we didn't really go into it because it really wasn't that important. But when they were doing the color war, like pep rally thing,
yeah.
where they're like, yeah, like this is our legacy and all that. It was this like douchey camp counselor that is just like that guy. Like,
yeah.
I know every single one of you just pictured that
douchey guy.
Was his name Will?
Like, I think it, I've thought it was like Chad. But you're probably right.
Chad Thad.
I think that might have ended up being the mayor of the town in Fear Street Part 1.
No way.
Oh, shit. I did not catch that.
I think so, because I know one of the characters was, and I remember it was like a blonde, kind of like jockey. I think it was him.
It would honestly make sense.
It makes sense, yeah. That's crazy. I didn't
but
catch that.
The girl that he's like fucking in the cabin was the girl in that... that whole thing, like that whole pep rally scene, she was sitting with like Gary and all them. And she kept saying, like, he's really hot. And she was like, I know he's a dick, but like, he's really hot.
That's funny.
And she's this like stoner, like hippie chick. And he, and he's such a dick to her.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. After they have sex and she like lights up the joint, he's like, I can fucking smell it. Put it out.
So aggressive.
Also, she hits that joint. And like the second she hits it, like she hasn't even inhaled yet. And she's like zooted. Fucking zooted. I was like, okay, that's really bad acting.
And then he also smelled it before she like even hit it too. I'm like, how do you smell it that fast? You're also in the shower.
And her that's the other, like, his reaction was so like, I'm gonna commit felonies later. And then he also, like, he did that, he screams that, and she just like looks behind her and is like, okay, and then just puts it down. I was like, you should be more concerned that he just had sex with you and then treated you like a fucking dog.
But you know, like, what, she's just vibing. She's constantly on a level.
But also I'm like, good for you, because you were like, I know he's a dick, but he's hot. You got what you wanted, and you're out of there. Like, you're like, I don't need anything else from him.
But unfortunately, she gets axed.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, she's not vibing for too long. She does get destroyed.
She does get destroyed. What a
way to go. Naked and stoned.
And freshly fooked.
I was going to try to think of...
Naked, stoned,
nice way to say
fresh. Naked, stoned, and freshly boned.
Whoa.
Wow.
What a way to go.
Iconic. Yeah, bitch. That's how I'm trying to go.
Yeah, I mean, I do really love that they put this whole thing into the movie, because it wouldn't be like a camp slasher without like some people having sex getting destroyed.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, like, you needed that scene.
You have to have it. It's the whole basis of Freddy.
No, that's true. Like, I think I said like, fuck that scene, but actually I take it back, because
it's necessary. It's like in Freddy versus Jason, like, you gotta have people die.
It like puts in like the basic horror movie rules, like, you know, she was doing drugs, she was having sex, she was the promiscuous one, just like all carefree, done.
Boom. I love how like fucked up that is. Like, I love like where that comes from in life. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I'd probably be dead pretty fast.
Well, that's the thing, we all would, because every single person is a trope.
Yeah. Like, cabin in the woods.
No matter what, like, you can fit into one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So back down in the cave, shit starts getting really real, because Mrs. Berman admits that she was a shitty person and she tried to abandon everyone, including Alice. And then that's when Alice reveals like all of her self-harm scars under her bracelets, which is a pretty
sad
part of the movie. Like, damn. Yeah, like,
it got real.
Yeah, that's when you realize like that Cindy is pretty rough to people.
Yeah. Kind of a piece of shit. Like, I hated her the whole way through.
Yeah, I was not a fan of Cindy.
And it's like, now you're sorry? Like,
I was way more into Ziggy.
Ziggy was it.
But you know what? Fear Street, it seems like what I like about it is that in each of these movies, they hit shit that's heavy. And they like hit it in a way that's not like After School Special. And you don't feel like it's like shoved down your throat to be like, look at this and think about it. It's like part of the story and it's in there smoothly, but when it hits, you're like, ooh, like, that's real. Like, like, even in the first one in 94, when they use the like drugs that they're gonna try to make Sam like swallow them all to die, that shit was heavy. Like, that was heavy. Yeah.
But it happens,
because it's like, in we're talking about like overdosing and bringing someone back, and like, what is this one gonna do to you, and what, and watching her like vomit them up and shit. That was like really real and really intense.
It was
for
raw.
Me to watch, I know. Like, I was like, whoa, this is hardcore. And then in this one, those like the self-harm scars, I was like, wow, that's like really intense. Like, I'm glad they did that and they didn't just like gloss over it.
No, I totally agree with you.
A really good series. I feel like they're hitting a lot of good points. You know, they're doing good on the horror aspect of things. They're doing good on the story aspect of things. And then just like just making it relevant and relatable.
Yeah.
They're doing a really good job on like all counts.
I feel like it was like a good step forward in horror.
And then again, okay, so when I said earlier, like, what the fuck is a color war? It's because I kept forgetting it was happening. Like, the color war is going to come back around now. Like, it seemed in the beginning like it was going to be like a vital like plot point, but I guess it really wasn't. It was just kind of like something they mentioned so that something really fucked up could happen later.
Well, I think the whole thing, sorry to interrupt was that it's like you like stake out like in the woods and stuff, and like there's going to be people in like different parts of the woods and stuff. So I think it was to be like, oh, fuck, all these campers are like hiding.
It was a vehicle to get everybody dispersed around the camp and without supervision.
Yeah.
And then when it came time to try to round people up, nobody was believing anybody because they thought it was part of the game,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. I think it was just a good way to do that.
Because there was a couple times where, like, someone would show up and they'd be like, and they're like, no, 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 like, this is for real.
And they're like, fuck you, blue team rules. And they just, like, shut up.
And what that leads to is, like, four kids getting, at least, like, four kids getting, like, murdered.
Yeah, like, maybe more. One of them got straight up beheaded. Like, straight up decapitated.
Yeah, like, head, you're out of there.
At least one of them got, like, it seemed like every part of its body just, like, separated. There was just, like, little, like, limbs just thrown around the room.
Yup.
It was wild. Sure was.
That shit was crazy. And some of those kids looked like they were, like, 8 or something. Like, I know,
they were so young.
Like,
I was like, this is really intense.
That shit was crazy. So after Ziggy knocks the bully chick out, because she goes back over to the bathroom to go save her, and then she immediately is, like, waiting for her to, like, pounce on Ziggy.
Oh, yeah. She's, like, trying to save her. Sheila's fucking unhinged, dude.
Yeah, I would have just kicked Sheila out into the woods and be like, have fun.
She was not your average bully. Like, that girl was gonna become a serial killer.
She sure was.
Yeah, she was insane. I don't trust her for a second.
No way.
But, you know, that's all fun and games. And then she's knocked out. Gary shows up and he's like, hey, what's going on? He was like, oh, why'd you knock her out? She's like, well, she kind of sucks. And then they stumble across Alice and Cindy, who are trapped, like, right under them in the witch's house.
My sister's in the toilet.
My sister's in the toilet.
I wrote, oh, bitch, they're in the toilet. And then she goes, my sister's in the toilet.
And it's just like a mountain of, like, shit and toilet paper leading down to them that they have to climb up.
And that yucky red shit, because that's how they realize, like, oh, the bathroom's up there, because she's like, wait, what's this red shit?
That mossy shit.
I was cleaning that off the bathroom earlier. Like, the bathroom must be right there.
And now we know that that also connects to 94 when they fall into the dirt and have the dirt visions. That moss shit is everywhere.
Yep.
And I remember I was thinking, like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. Like, why is it everywhere?
But it connects.
It comes back.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That's fucking... It's gross.
It's cool, like, again, like, cool that they string these little things between all three movies that you're like, oh, shit, okay, so in the first one, that's what this was. Like, I love that.
So now they're trying to get them back up through all of this shitty mess, and Tommy walks in, and he basically just sends Gary's head straight to hell.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary really gets it.
That was sad.
And it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, Gary.
Oh, bye.
Oh, Gary.
Oh, you know what we never mentioned, too? I forgot. At one point, Alice kind of goes crazy because she touches the giant, like, alien heart thing, you know, because it's basically like a giant beating, like, alien heart, like an alien egg or something. And she touches it and she starts getting, like, some of the visions that she thinks that, what's her face? Cindy is Sarah Fear for a second. Mm-hmm. So she starts, like, chasing her and runs down a hall and she breaks her leg. And then now, Gary's body, his torso, like, everything falls right on her broken leg.
Yeah.
Down in the shitty mess down there. So, infection, first of all.
Oh, so much infection.
Hated when she broke her leg because
there was a compound fracture.
I knew they were going to have to do that where it just fucking yeeted out of her fucking skin.
Yep.
Oh, I hate it so much.
Compound fracture.
Hate it.
You know what really annoys me, though?
What?
She starts walking pretty soon just after, like, Cindy kind of, like, snaps it into place and, like, puts, like, kind of, like, ties a shirt around it. She starts just, like, walking around and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know about that. And then
Then
Nick also, he gets stabbed in the leg, like, right now, like, axed the fuck out of his leg. Like, I don't even know how that thing didn't come off. And then he just starts walking around for the rest of the movie, too. Like, they pay no mind to people getting their legs destroyed in this movie for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think they rely too much on, like, oh, well, adrenaline. It's like, well,
yeah,
adrenaline
exactly.
will
like,
get
bro,
you, like, a little bit, but, like, certainly not that. You can only get so far on adrenaline.
I was, like, fully convinced that the Axeman was gonna, like, walk up to someone and, like, slit the back of, like, their ankles
the
and they were just gonna still be walking around.
The Achilles freaks
right?
me the fuck out.
Because that shit will rattle up right into your legs.
Yeah.
I hate that that's a thing.
That's my worst fear, honestly. That
you know,
is, like,
that's John's worst fear.
I think it's, like, a lot of people's worst fear.
Once you see it, once you hear about it, you're like, oh, shit.
I mean, it's a valid fear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that one thing that even when I know that I'm seeing a fake rendition of it, it sends chills down fucking spine.
Because you can, like, feel it in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Like, even right now talking about it, I feel like my heels are very tense.
I'm holding my ankle right now. Like, I feel so weird right now.
It's like an urban legend. Mm-hmm. When the professor, when he's under the car and he slits the back of his ankles and he just crumbles and he can't stand, so he's just... Severe tire damage.
Real vulnerable.
I hate it so much. And I always just think of like the pencil scene in Evil Dead too. Yes. And I'm just like,
yes. Oh, that made me hold my ankle.
Like ankle shit just destroys me. I don't like it. I don't like it. But anyway, down at the bottom of the cave, Cindy is still trying to escape. Alice is like reading the books and like, you know, getting closer to finding answers. And Tommy's song, Carry On My Wayward Son, comes back in full effect just in time for a Tommy Axe montage.
Hell yeah, it does.
And before that, we see that like a bus full of campers leaves without... They were able to get them out. But Ziggy like tries to go get on the bus because Nick tells her, he's like, get on the bus, like get on the bus. So she runs to it as it's pulling out of camp. Yep. And then, carry on my wayward son. I was like, that song choice is so impeccable.
So now Ziggy and Tommy are full on fighting and she stabs him. He chokes her, but then... pretty iconic. She puts a bag over his head, starts to choke him, nearly succeeds, but then he pushes her off, steps up with the sack over his head, which brings Sackhead Axe Killer full circle.
Yes, which we saw obviously in the first one.
That was a good reveal. Like, just the way he stood up and you just see it, and it was like, oh, fuck yeah, like, dude, oh, let's shit. Go.
Yes, because it's like that burlap sack, and you see him just kind of like suck it into his mouth a yep. little bit, and it kind of like... goes into his like eye sockets a bit, like just kind of makes see that the feature outline
slightly,
and you just immediately are thinking of 94, and you're like, oh shit. And that's why I need the other ones too, because I need to see how they became who they became.
Yeah, I think we're going to though. I just feel it, especially with like all the talk of Ruby Lane in this one, because they were like, she was totally normal, and then all of a sudden, like she just
no, I need it.
Killed 7 people at a dinner party.
I need it.
I want to see it.
So now that Ziggy is about to be killed, Cindy walks up and kills Tommy and says, fuck you, which is a big thing to her because she's a straight-edge prude virgin that doesn't use profanity.
Yeah, she doesn't yeah. swear.
She don't do that. That's not her vibe, dude. So now I'm not really sure how, broken-ass leg Alice got her way back to the service because, again, she's fucking broken and destroyed, but she somehow got up on her own. Not only that, she brings Sarah Fear's hand with her, and then Ziggy knows blood on it, so they're just...
Oh, yeah, and she had found the hand in the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
At one point, yes. I think we skipped it accidentally, but...
Because the
she
whole...
She had, like, found it in there.
And the whole thing is, like, the curse will be lifted once Sarah Fear's body is, like, back with her hand.
Yeah.
But I was like, Alice, let's not steal from tombs. Let's not steal, like, bones from tombs. Just seems like a bad plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess we didn't talk, like, or shed a lot of light on that, too, because the whole thing of this is that in the story earlier in, like, the witch book or something like that. Or no, it was just when Nurse Lane was talking about it, right? She said, like, she cut off her hand and, like, sacrificed it or some shit like that. There's she a hand says, sacrifice going on, you
Sarah
know?
Fear cut off her wicked hand on Satan's stone in exchange for eternal life, scarring the soil beneath with the witch's mark, bringing darkness upon the land.
Ooh!
So there it is.
I want to know why Sarah's so mad.
You find out.
Like, what happened to her?
She has every right to be.
But she really did. She really did make a deal with the devil, or that.
I'm not telling you.
I feel like she didn't.
No, you're gonna love it.
I feel like I'm gonna love Sarah. Like, I feel like they wronged her. 1666,
man. It brings you. It's gonna bring you everything you need.
Yeah.
I love that one. That one's my fave.
But now let's get into this fucking end here because.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to get to this.
It sent me.
So they think they need to bury this hand with Sarah under the hanging tree.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yes.
And they're like, we have to bury this thing right fucking now. But like you said, Ziggy nosebled onto the bone. So now it's
just
like
so
you bled on the bone.
And she starts to get all the visions.
And then all like Tommy's after her. They're all after her now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now she's the target.
Because her blood is on the shit.
And now all of the ghosts and zombies and demons are going to pull up to the scene with their ceiling missing.
And, well, Tommy comes back to life first, and Cindy has to kill him again, and she shoves the shovel through his neck.
Yes.
That was the wildest.
She kind of goes brutal once she says, when she starts using profanity, she's like, all right, I'm a new person.
Hell well, because she's like back to her old self, because while she was down with Alice in the tomb and they were like broing out, she was like, we know that like Cindy used to be fun. And then she like kind of had to take, I think her father left and then her mom
so
started
felt like
drinking.
She had to like take over more of like a parental role and the responsibility of the house. So
and she really wanted to get out of Shadyside.
Mm-hmm.
So
she kind of like molded herself into like the
Sunnydale
kind of
Sunnyvale.
That was quite a
sunny place.
Sunnyvale, because it always made me think Sunnydale every time I heard it. But yeah, Sunnyvale, like, so she wants to be that. So she thinks if she acts like one, she will become one. So right. But it's not who she is.
Exactly. So that's why she can just shove somebody's fucking neck through with a...
She's a shady cider.
She is.
That's what they do.
So now we should probably get right into just the craziest thing in the world, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Fucking cause... wild.
So this is when they are at the hanging tree.
Because they're running to it to bury the hand.
And they have buried the hand. And... oh my god.
Didn't work.
Like we said, all those zombie killers from 1994 that we saw and more are now encroaching upon them in a circle.
Like surrounding the hanging tree, so there's no way out.
It kind of feels like the baseball scene in Twilight.
You know what's terrible? I kind of get what you're saying.
Do you kind of know what I'm like? Kind of just like the ambiance and the way they're like kind of coming,
and they're
like,
kind of coming in,
like kind of, yeah, like when the ops pull up and they're just like kind of like coming in on that wide open terrain.
Yeah, oh my all right,
God, you're right.
For a second, I was like, I don't know how you're gonna make move over to your side with
you're
that,
correct.
But you sort of did.
You're very correct.
It felt a little. I would be willing to say that it felt a lot more intense for me in that moment.
Oh no, this moment, because
it was like palpable.
As soon as this started happening, I was like, what the fuck is going to happen? Like, I was so stressed out, and it only got worse.
Well, because then they start arguing, like, they're basically saying, like Cindy is like, no, like, it's okay, like, you need to, like, live.
Like, you run. She was like, I'll distract
them and you run.
Yes.
But then they try to do that. Like, they argue for a minute, and she's like, just do it, and then... she's able to, like, get one of them, but then they get her.
Yes.
And then as Ziggy's running away, there was no way for her to run out of that because they're all just right there. So I think, does Tommy get Ziggy?
So Tommy gets Cindy.
Cindy, yeah.
Tommy gets
he
Cindy.
He bops her in the face with the axe, like with the flat part of the axe.
He gets her down.
She goes down.
And it's that thing where, like, you know, at first you still don't know exactly... you know, that there's a twist between them, you know, that, like, one of them is still going to be alive. It's not the one that you think, basically. So, like,
exactly.
She gets bopped in the face, and you're like, oh, okay, that's not going to happen. And then he just goes to fucking town on her chest with that axe.
And it's in slow-mo.
And you see every axe hit to her chest, and it's the way they had her, like, bump her body up every time it hit her chest.
It was, I was like, so real.
And not only that, those noises, like the sloppy, the slurping, like blood slapping just going sound. Around and like,
yes,
oh.
It was so
and as
scary.
That's happening, Ziggy has been caught by, was it?
It's like the little kid with the mask.
No,
isn't
it's
it?
Not that one.
Okay, so I thought it was the baby face guy. I don't think it was, I almost feel like it was a different person.
I think it was the milkman guy. And he has a butcher knife, and he gets Ziggy. So they're both down on their backs next to each other, looking
at
each other,
and
reaching for each other.
But they can't make it.
Well, Cindy is getting the axe to the chest, and then Ziggy's getting stabbed by this, and he even takes the knife and goes sideways and hits her on the side of her stomach, which to me, I was like, that's a detail. That's so real,
like,
because that would inflict
those ribs
so much damage, like going to the side in your stomach. Yeah. Like he switches it up and like is just like
It was horrible.
The most brutal scene I have ever. I was like, this is, and they're both looking at each other,
and they
her
can't
body's
reach
like
hands.
Like just flopping with every single axe hit, and then like Ziggy's just like. Blood splurting out everywhere and they can't reach each other. It was so intense.
And then when it's done, it just like pans away from them and you're like, so what now? Like they're both dead.
To me, the craziest part too, like the part that like really got to me was like they do this really, really vile thing where the music stops for like a split second, like maybe a couple seconds at most, and all you hear is their bodies just being stabbed into like,
yes!
It was crazy when you heard it with the music, but when they stopped it for a second and just gave you like that wide shot and you see both of them just getting stabbed and all you hear is just the sloshing, this flesh being destroyed. I was like, oh, fuck. You did that.
Wild.
Like, they really hammered you over the head with it. But it was one of the best done scenes in a horror movie.
I would love to, like, watch, like, a show of how they were able to do that.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Like, how were they able to get that shot and make it feel so real?
Because that scene stuck with everybody.
Because I can literally see it right now.
You can watch it again in your head.
Yeah. It, like, not that you want to. No. But...
yeah, that lives in my head rent-free now.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally.
It does. I can watch that shit on loop if I need to.
Name a scene that lives in your head rent-free. Like, that, like, soothing woman's voice. Yes. And then it's like, whoomph, whoomph.
Honestly.
Dead. Died. Dead.
So yeah, and then Nick comes running up on their dead bodies, and you know, this is when I got mad because, like I said, he got destroyed with an axe earlier, and he comes running up.
Yeah, he comes
running up with no leg issues.
And then he just starts totally doing CPR on like this mutilated body. Like Elena and I were talking about it, and Elena was like, "Well, like it could work, like in a very rare case." But I was like,
"Yeah."
What? Like, you would, that would not be my first response, would be to do that. Like, I would just think, like, oh, fuck, like, you're literally gone. Like, there's nothing gone. I can do.
But there's been times where people have survived these, think about, like, Susan, the nurse, who survived, like, her own, mm-hmm. the hitman that was coming to get her.
Yeah, no, it's
Susan
true.
Susan Kuhnhausen,
with, like a fucking claw hammer.
Literally was, I mean, demolished. She had the shit kicked out of her, and she still managed to walk out of that.
But she was, like, stabbed so many in, like, the side, and, like, you were saying, like,
no, it's crazy.
So much damage.
But
I was like, that's not realistic.
But not totally impossible.
It was a little far-fetched for me.
She did live, though.
It was, I mean, crazy.
There's also a witch that comes back to possess people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. No, I know. But I'm just saying.
Well,
because there wasn't any, like, witch magic with that. It was just, like... he like breathed into her lungs, and I was like, nah, man, her lungs are fucking impaled at this point. Like, there's no way.
So we're pretty much at like the end now, and I just really just still don't like Nick in the end. He's the one that I think I hated the most in this one. He made me mad because he's like all just on Ziggy's side trying to be good to her this whole time, and then in the end she tells a story where she's like, well, in the end no one believed me. I just kind of went off, lived my life, blah, blah, blah. Nick definitely didn't believe me either. And she has this moment where she, like, tells him what happened. He's just like, yeah, bye. I'm going to go be a cop. See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye. I'm going to go be a cop
But
now.
Then, so she has the hand or something? Like, what happens at the end? I forget. Because they go to the mall.
So, yeah, bloody hands. The hands are bloody.
No, so we fade back to present day. And C. Berman is like, yeah, so... that's my story. And Dean is like, well, I know where the body is because, like, that's where Sam ended up getting possessed. And then we flash back to Sam and she's like,
exactly. Still going.
A little tiny scream escaped by accident. But so then they go back to the mall because now the mall is where the hanging tree is and they dig up the hand.
And the mall is literally built around the hanging tree. Like, the hanging tree is in the middle of the mall, which I was like, wow. That's commitment to the tragic past of your town.
Well, which I also was like, because that would have been like where the summer camp was. So I'm like, wow, like there's probably just like a Spencer's gift shop where a kid just got beheaded.
Yeah, because not only did they build it around they built a summer camp around the hanging tree.
Mm-hmm.
Then they built a mall around the summer camp where a mass murder occurred, where they had already built it around a hanging tree.
Yeah, that shit is so haunted, it's ridiculous.
Let's not commercialize it.
Like, even if there's not a witch involved, that shit is so haunted by now.
Exactly. It's like, just there's no good juju here. Like, just don't do it.
And then again, we get a good old, Dina, your nose is bleeding.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I was like, we need to chill with that. We get it. Stop doing coke on the side. Yeah, it's
over the nose bleeding shit. I'm like, bro.
Everybody's nose is bleeding.
You know what? Just cut your fucking hand or something. Like, I'm over this.
Blood needs to come from somewhere else.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
We don't need any more nose blood. Yeah, so honestly, anything at this point that's not out of your nose.
Yeah, right? So they put the hand back with the body, and then it flashes back to see Berman's house, and she's calling someone. And the other guy, like, Nick is, like, the sheriff now, we know, and he's, like, driving around, and he gets a call. It's this guy, and he goes, hey, there's a call for you. It's somebody from the Judy Blume Book Club. Is that a real thing, boss? I love that. That a real thing, boss?
I love that so much.
Pretty much ends with just like a segue into, all right, 66, or a year.
1666.
Segues into a new year.
It segues into 1666.
Basically, Dina has some blood on her hands. She touches Seraphir's hand, and now she's Seraphir.
And then even in the preview, you're like, oh, like they're trying to witch hunt Seraphir and like she ain't did it.
Yeah, but you know what? I do kind of like the twist that Dina's getting hunted. I like that.
Yeah, right? Because you're like, bro.
I will tell you, you'll like Dina a lot more in 1666.
Yeah, I don't hate her that much.
Well, because you'll like her as Seraphir.
You'll like Dina as not Dina.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Exactly. Okay, I'll like her if she's not her. I'm never going to like her. I adamantly don't want to like her. And if they make me like her in the end, I'm going to be kind of pissed.
You'll like Seraphir.
Yeah. I had a feeling I would like Seraphir. I always liked a witch.
At least I did.
I'm ready to like Seraphir. I usually like, anytime you're getting attacked by people and then like burnt at a stake, I'm probably on your side.
Yeah, I'm going to rally for you.
9 times out of 10.
Yeah, like you, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Like,
so yeah, guys, stay tuned for 1666.
Dude, these numbers, look, I don't like numbers. All right.
You guys just can't. You can't get these years.
Can't hang.
So I think we had about, if I counted right, we should have 14 kills in this. Was that up or lower than the last? We had like, what, like 10 or something in the
that
last
was
one,
up,
right? Or
I think.
Something?
Yeah, I think last 94. Time there was 9 for some reason, I think.
Yeah, somewhere around that. I don't, yeah it was either like low double digits or like about to be double digits.
Yeah.
So I think we got a little more this one. Okay.
Lots of campers.
So the moment of truth. What do you guys rate this one?
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what I would give this one. Part of me wants to give it like a 3.5 just because I was like
3.5.
Oh. Yeah. Like I enjoyed it a lot. Like, and I said part of me wants to give it a 3.5. And I don't know. It was like something was missing from this one, I felt. But I'm going to give it a 4 because I also really enjoyed it at the same time.
I'm actually in the same exact boat as you, Ash. I didn't enjoy this as much as part one.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You didn't? I thought you liked this one better.
No, now that I think of it, like now that we just did like the whole rendition, I like part one better.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Like we went through the whole thing and I was like, no, I actually think I did like, I need to watch it. You know what I need to do? I'm gonna watch 1666 by itself and then we'll record and then I'm gonna watch the whole thing like in a sitting and see how I feel.
I like 1978 better than 94, hands down.
Yeah, because I felt like that at first too, so now I'm like, how do I feel?
Yeah, I liked it hands down. There's no question for me. I liked it better.
I really thought I was gonna like this one more, but I mean for me it didn't have me like as excited and hyped as I was when I was watching the first one. I don't know if it's just because it was the first one that I watched and I had a really fun time with it and like it kind of threw me off, but like just the feeling that I had from like beginning to end watching 94 versus 78, I had a lot better of a time. I think there was a lot of more like constant tension and suspense and like a lot of more like just action going on throughout the whole thing, so I think it was a little easier for me to watch. For me, like the first, like I said earlier, the first like 40 minutes of this was really, really slow for me, like really slow, which bumped it down like a good amount for me. Like I actually did not have a fun time like the first like 30, 40 minutes. I almost thought I was going to hate it.
I can see that, like because this one for sure, I think was way slower beginning than the first one, which I will definitely, that's why I think I would do like a I'll do a 4 for this one, actually, because I think, yeah, it was definitely a little slower going than the first one.
Yeah.
But
I still
thoroughly
loved
enjoyed it.
But I thought you like it more than 94.
What did I rate 94?
You gave it a 4.5.
All right. Then I would say this one's either on par.
Maybe tied.
Or like maybe 4.75.
Well, you and I were talking about it, and it's just they're two entirely different movies.
Yeah, they were two different vibes.
You know what? So I'm actually going to add a point to my. I'm going to say a 4 because I did really still enjoy watching this.
Yeah, you said 4.
No, I said 3.5.
No, you said you were going to give it a 3.5, but you gave it a 4.
I know we're
confusing ourselves.
I really, I'm also just like, I have like such conflicting, I don't know how I feel anymore.
I'm locking in a 4. I'm not going back at all.
All right, so you're locking in a 4. I'm going to lock in a 4.75.
Okay, so you lock in a 4.75. I'm going to lock in a 4.5.
Okay.
Because I wanted to go back and give it half a point, but then I forgot what I had given it originally.
There you go.
Because, like, again, we were saying they're two entirely different movies, and I really thoroughly enjoyed watching both of them, and there was parts of both of them where I was just like, meh. But I think both parts of them had, like, equal, like, meh things, and, like, way more, like, oh, yeah things.
I had to give it the extra purely for that scene.
I had
like it had to get more just for that scene. Yeah. That scene alone to me was like chef's kiss.
This isn't an attack, but just so you guys know, you really base your ratings off of each other.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Do we?
Every time you guys write something and then like the other person says something, you're like, wait, hold on. Let me bring this back or like, forward a little second. Bit. Hold on.
This is a symbiotic relationship. It is. I probably do it more than you do. I love it.
But yeah, but I still really enjoyed this. Like, I still think it was really good, but it's just a thing for me where they're both like an hour, 50 minutes. They're both really long. And mm-hmm, just in comparison, I do think, I'm going to say 94 is the better movie to me. I think it's a better movie all around, probably.
I mean, I take them both.
I have more fun with it. No, they're both really good, but this one's just a little more slow for me. I will say, like, the second half for this, like, it redeems itself completely. Like, it's still really awesome. It's not a bad movie by any means, but just if I'm putting them next to each other, I like 94 more.
You know what I will say about, like, the cave stuff? I wish there was, like, more scary things that happened within the cave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I needed a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's really just... that's the best way to put it. For me on this one, I just needed a little bit more. Like, I feel like every step of the way in this, like in the beginning for the first 40 minutes, like I needed some more action. I needed just some more interesting things going on, like some more suspense or something. And then everything else after that, it was like, it was really awesome, really cool. But there's just something missing. And I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something missing.
Are we going to find out what that like alien heart thing is?
A lot will be cleared up.
Well, I'm excited for 1666.
Yes.
Yeah, so am I. I want to see where it goes from this. So, that was the show, guys. You know, we have an email that you can suggest movies to. That's called horrormovierequests@yahoo.com. We have ad-free episodes, bonus episodes, stickers, bookmarks, postcards, other things. Patreon.com/screenpodcast. We have a website, www.thescreenpodcast.com. We have Instagram. Wow, crazy, right? @screenpodcast. Twitter? Holy shit. What? Toledo's Aww. Crazy. The Toledo. Screen Pod. Wow. Things. You could... wow. This Tweets. Show is... ooh.
This show is my sister's in the toilet.
Oh, damn it. That was
Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, I'm glad you took it. This show is you're gonna burn, witch.
That was good. That was more fitting.
Yeah, I think
it felt hostile.
It felt hostile.
You're gonna burn, witch. It's like, oh.
Bye.
Bye. Elena and Caleb, they met through some tweets. Exchanged them digits, now life is so sweet. Zooming all the time to record new episodes. Slanging the jokes to make our heads all explode. On PCP, I'm trapped inside a VHS. Scream, baby, scream, you know who do it the best. Through Anna's eyes, the team is ready to go. Fighting round the world, shout out to Russell Crowe. Oh, space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Internet homies, yeah, we tight like that. You wanna mess with Scream? Well, we might fight back. I'm still in that VHS, bad drug experience. A window that is secret, Johnny Depp, are you hearing this? We top notch, podcasting the day away. What you say? Friendship on full display. My penis is in space, if you think that is odd. I'm wishing for endless corn and eggs for the squad, Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream.
If you like like Scream, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run dark. In this new crime thriller, religion and crime collide when this small Montana community is rocked by a gruesome murder. As the town is whipped into a frenzy, everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager. But local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Lauro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. She and Ruth form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone's watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy Award nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook plunges listeners into the dark underbelly of a small town where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, and even the most devout are not who they seem. Chinook is available to listen to now exclusively with your Wondery Plus subscription. You can subscribe to Wondery Plus on the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.